Hello, my name is Francis Pinder, and you are watching or listening to the Salesforce Posse podcast, where I speak to Salesforce industry influencers so we can gain a better understanding of how to excel in a career path from a Salesforce developer or admin to an architect. And in this conversation, I'm going to be talking to Vernon Keenan, who runs a great Salesforce DevOps website, SalesforceDevOps.net, where you can get a better idea of the Salesforce DevOps ecosystem. But he's also worked as an industry analyst over many years and has a great insight into the Salesforce DevOps ecosystem. And I was following him live tweeting when Salesforce announced the Salesforce DevOps Center during Dreamforce this year. So if you're interested in Salesforce DevOps, want to learn about the Salesforce DevOps ecosystem, as well as value stream management, or just want to know how to get your hands on some free DevOps training, then I think you're going to get a lot of value out of this conversation with Vernon. So without further ado, let's go. So I'm here with Vernon Keenan, who is one of those kind of people in the Salesforce DevOps ecosystem that knows everything about DevOps. So Vernon, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Francis. Honored to be here.
So I really wanted to kind of pick your brains about the Salesforce ecosystem and the tooling and things out there, as well as around the new kind of Salesforce DevOps tooling that's come out by Salesforce DevOps Center. And I know you went to Dreamforce and I missed out and I was following your tweets during the kind of the that show. It was really good, really great. So thanks
Thank you. Appreciate that.
But I think, just a little bit, I think where we start is really kind of your opinion on the state of DevOps, I suppose, in the Salesforce ecosystem and this kind of new DevOps center that's kind of come out from Salesforce.
Well, I think basically DevOps is still getting a foothold in Salesforce. There is one key essential difference in developing systems based on Salesforce and other SaaS systems such as ServiceNow and all the others, that basically you have a metadata layer of configuration that's very complex and needs to be managed. And so that has taken the development of something I call metadata intelligence on the part of vendors who have kind of undertaken this kind of Herculean task of ingesting all of this unbelievably complex XML data coming out of Salesforce through the APIs and putting it into some sort of graph database or some sort of configuration management system, where they are able to use that information to do things like manage configurations and deployments and other things like that. So it's the management of the metadata was impossible until these platform vendors created their products, essentially. So it was the emergence of AutoRabbit and Blue Canvas and Capato and Flowsome and Gearset. Those were the original ones who had platforms. And so the platform is essentially a separate SaaS system that exists to manage your operational SaaS systems.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's, which is a crazy concept, really.
I think that's one of the key concepts, really, to get across, is that we've gone meta on SaaS here. You need another SaaS system to manage all your other SaaS systems.
And I always find it really crazy, almost, when you're going to go into a company and they're so used to that kind of traditional approach of you write some code, you push it in production, it then doesn't change, And now with these SaaS systems, it just turns things a bit upside down.
Yeah, I think in SaaS DevOps and Salesforce DevOps, the code artifact is not as stable or as important. You're exactly right. Because if you're building like a JavaScript or a Go or some sort of Kubernetes thing, you're in the world of what we call cloud native DevOps. So that's like the traditional DevOps. And using that type of technology has allowed companies to build big apps and so forth. But the thing that's nice about the code pipelines in those languages I mentioned is that they're very stable. You can usually go from a Git archive and create a full deployment, which that's not really doable in Salesforce because of all the online interactions and special things you need to do. If you're using Salesforce experiences, for example, it's impossible. You have to do manual configuration. So, you know, there's that.
Although they are improving it or trying to in the releases to make it easier.
Yeah, they are. They're trying to get better coverage with the metadata API. Yeah. And I think an interesting thing that's turning out now, I'm not sure, but maybe one or two of the vendors is doing it. I was about to say Capato, but I'm not sure. But they're using RPA now to do those impossible tasks. Do you know what I... So they're using robotic process automation, which is essentially a way that, okay, well, here's how you do that configuration with your mouse. You know, that's how... You, and then the RPA agent will watch you do that. And then,
and then you can replay it.
And then it could be replayed by a deployment engine, for example. So that's some of, so we're not really doing that yet. So the state of Salesforce DevOps is kind of, you know, kind of blah or getting started because we don't have full coverage. It's still very complex. And you have to use one of these platforms in order to get a workflow going through your organization. So that's really what they provide functionally for companies is, you know, a way to do branch-based management of new projects and other, you know, ways to do digital transformations, you know, to manage all the steps along the way. You essentially need to be in that world of what we call application lifecycle management. And you should interrupt me because analysts have a habit of just droning on.
Talk. That's fine. No, it's all really interesting.
Yeah.
But So like on your website, I kind of got the, your industry map, which I noticed. You've also got the kind of the layers of kind of areas where, the kind of Salesforce DevOps tooling can fit. And like, it's basically, I'll put a link in the show notes, but it's kind of like, a stacked area, you know, starting off with, you know, executive stakeholder and governance and that kind of value stream mapping all the way down to repository management.
We've been going like up the map so far in our discussion today.
Yeah, I think we started at the bottom. Moving up.
That's right.
So if we jump to the top, and kind of give, so you got one of the areas is your value stream management.
Yes.
And for those that are not too au fait of what a value stream management or value stream planning is, could you kind of give a little bit of a kind of a 101 on that?
Sure. Well,
and how it relates
to this
DevOps.
Goes back to the Toyota Kata. This, you know, the history on this is that in the 1970s and 80s, the United States still kind of thumbed its nose at, well, it's more like the 60s, the U.S. thumbed its nose at the Japanese because, you know, we defeated them in the war and, they made in Japan was a terrible product. It was a terrible label back then in the 60s. It was like a joke, made in Japan. But then in the 70s and 80s, anybody who was driving a Toyota was laughing at the Americans. And that created a manufacturing revolution around the world because people studied intensely what was going on at Toyota specifically. And out of that study and out of what they were doing at Toyota came a lot of the project management tools that we're using today. So the Kanban board, for example, was invented there. The idea of having queues in your Kanban board managed properly, in order so you don't get work pileups among teams, and you can have flow. That's another thing. And then
pulling the cord to stop the construction.
Right, the andon cord is what you're referring to there. Yeah. And that's Slack nowadays, basically. That you can have somebody pipe up and say, hey, there's something wrong with this workflow on our digital transformation project.
And swarming the issue to get it solved quickly.
Correct. And these are all elements, actually, what are called of lean manufacturing or lean management. I mean, to put words on these things is sometimes useless because they all kind of filter down into the tools we're using today. Yeah. But I think that formed the basis of value stream management, because within that management structure I was just telling you about is how Toyota would create a value stream is like a car. It's like, you know, that's the thing you're putting out. And if you can measure all of the inputs and all of the effort that goes into producing that particular value stream, then you have an idea of the enterprise value of that effort. So I think value stream management is trying to put a process and an analysis tool in place to make sure that you have, that you're building the right thing, that you're
at the right time,
and that you have a way to measure it. So what that then turns out is that DevOps turns out to be the instrumentation for value stream management.
Yeah, how you get the benefit of speeding up that value chain by using the tooling.
Right. So DevOps gives us the ability to manage that stuff, because then we can use things like the DORA metrics and other things to measure productivity and effectiveness of teams within an organization.
Yeah, so you can speed up that development, but without reducing quality, security, and all the other kind of metrics around.
Right.
With a DORA,
And besides DORA metrics, you also want to put other key performance indicators and management objectives and things like that on a dashboard.
I always think that kind of value stream mapping in the kind of DevOps world, we kind of talk about it there, but actually, I kind of equally use it kind of in the Salesforce when you're building Salesforce. You know, Salesforce enhances that value stream in a business, and it's kind of very similar. It's like, you know, you're using Salesforce to support the business, and DevOps is supporting you create, you know, changes and business processes within Salesforce quickly and with good quality. So it's like value stream mapping in the Salesforce ecosystem is very undervalued, I think.
Oh, tremendously undervalued. I think it's something that is better deployed in the cloud native world. You have companies like digital.ai, for example, who have taken value stream mapping and that kind of thing to a fine art almost, where they have, this is, you have companies nowadays who are kind of like born around these ideas. So they use lean attitudes and metrics and DevOps like techniques within their overall management structure. So DevOps can get elevated to that kind of level. And I think this also plays off, it's almost a separate subject from value stream, which I think you're right, Francis, it's way undervalued. And I'll just mention that there are two companies, Capato and Opsera, who have offerings in this area. So I think if customers are looking for that, you might want to look at either one of those vendors.
Cool. But also, so when you were at Dreamforce, Salesforce did announce its DevOps center, which I
kept
really want to get into, and kept announcing. And so, you know, what is this kind of world of this kind of Salesforce DevOps platform, and do you see it as a disruptor to the rest of the ecosystem, or is it going to support it, or where do you think it fits?
Well, I think the word is out is not in yet on DevOps Center. It still is in beta, still hasn't been released as of this recording in GA. So we're waiting for that. I think so. I'm waiting for that to do like a formal review of it myself. So I'm still kind of, I've looked at it and evaluated it and talked to Karen Fidalic, the product manager, and I've talked to product managers at Prodly and at Elements Cloud, who have created integrations with DevOps Center. Yeah. So I think the thing that's important to realize about DevOps Center right now is that it's a tool. It's not a platform. So it doesn't exist within, it's very hard to use it all by itself to create that flow I was talking about earlier.
Yeah. So, okay, do you see it kind of moving into that platform arena as it matures?
Well, I don't know. That would be the crossing the line part.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I think they have enough of a challenge getting rid of change sets, first of all.
Yeah.
So I think
people still use them.
People are still going to use them, but that's the mission of this product. So yeah. I think it's an admin tool. It's a trailblazer ecosystem. It's a trailblazer community tool type of thing. It exists very well in that admin ecosystem. So I think it's going to empower a lot of admins. And when you look at the Salesforce ecosystem, of course, there's a distribution, right? So you got the top 10,000 or 20,000 customers who are spending like $1 million a year on Salesforce, and they're the ones buying Capato and so forth.
Yeah.
And then you got...
Do you see the value in small... Yeah, as you come down the stack.
Exactly. So there's the fat middle, which is unserved. And DevOps Center is great for that. So I think it's got to work. You know, it's an important product that needs support, you know, needs deployment, success, and they got to get it right. So it's also very challenging. It's on a three years now, 4 years actually.
Right, yeah.
Since they announced it.
Yeah.
So it is way overdue. And we'll see. The integration is kind of light. I think it's very interesting what Prodly did to integrate with them. What they did is they didn't really Prodly specialized in what I would call. I just added them to the DevOps platform list before I gave five names, and a few more have been added. Excuse me. And people should go to the website and check the top products list to see all of the top products, which includes Prodly now. And they specialize in what I called ancillary metadata, which is like if you're building a complex commerce system, or you're building CPQ, price to quote system. There's a lot of extra data that goes along with that, like catalog data and so forth, that has to be managed and changed. So they focused on that primarily. But now they've added something called application lifecycle management or a feature that covers ALM in their new system, which is project management. And I'll talk a little bit about that next, because I think that's super important. And so they can use DevOps Center now to manage regular metadata deployments as well. So before, you couldn't do regular metadata deployments just with Prodly, and now you can.
Oh, okay. So is it the record-based kind of config migration as well as part of that as well?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I think that's one of the challenges with some of those DevOps toolings is there's metadata migration, but some of the big AppExchange apps are very heavy still kind of record-based config. So that is a challenge to move through environments.
Exactly, and Prodly has application-specific templates for things like Conga or whatever.
Encino or,
to do that. Well, you better check, so.
there's a couple of others that are doing like Encino and things like that, you know, support. So
So on the ALM front, I think, you know, we were going up the stack, and in between all of the technology and all of that value stream stuff is application lifecycle management. And that's super important in DevOps. And that basically is your management tool to make sure you're getting stuff done. And that typically is Jira. So a lot of people use Jira as a management tool, so you can break up your, this is where Agile comes into the whole formula of DevOps. So we're breaking up projects into, what do we call them, epics, and it's user stories. And then you have all kinds of tasks to implement the different stories. And then those tasks can basically map into then DevOps activities that you can run on DevOps Center.
Okay, got you.
So this...
And that's, yeah.
Exactly. And I just wanted to get in that Elements Cloud has a similar integration as well. And they're actually more developed at the ALM stuff than Prodly is. They're like an ALM expert. So they're great for big companies who want to do big projects, like I was talking about. Helps you understand, gets your business analysis tied into your
your process mapping, and they're really good for that.
And the DevOps,
absolutely. So if you were kind of that kind of lower end of the kind of spectrum, and knowing that, you know, change sets are not working for you, based on the kind of the ecosystem of apps out there, where do you think is your kind of the first point of call of where you kind of learn more about DevOps, or learn more about, you know, the tooling out there that could support, speed up your release process into production?
Well, like, this isn't the chance to promote my website, salesforcedevops.net.
which is a great website. Right. It's just got full of tools categorized by various different things. But so a bit about it, because so you've done some interesting analysis as well.
Sure. And it happens to be the only one, only independent source. So I think that's why I started it, because there was no independent source. So there are few independent sources. So I think I have to turn prospects here to a vendor, and I don't have any problem recommending Gearset as a starting place.
Yeah, so great guys.
I think the thing I got to commend Gearset for is the educational component of their marketing. So what's it called? DevOps Landing Pad or something is a free site for learning about Salesforce DevOps. Yeah. So it comes highly recommended. And they do the thing where you've got a SaaS system managing your other SaaS systems. I think maybe they could be faster, or maybe there's other, you know, complaints or things. But as a company, I think they're on a rocket ship, and I mean, you're in the UK. They got to be notable over there.
Yeah, they're just down the road, pretty much. But yeah, and also actually they've just moved into the kind of backup space as well within Salesforce, which I think kind of also kind of links that, you know, record-based config, you know, sandbox seeding space, which is all, you know, an important part of that DevOps piece, I think, as well.
You're right. And by the way, all those categories you mentioned are on the map.
Yeah, absolutely. I would definitely head to the website. Mm-hmm. I kind of use it as my little reference guide as well. SalesforceDevOps.net, brilliant resource.
Thank you, Francis.
It is really good.
It's been a joy.
So is there anything else that you want to talk about?
I have a course coming up as well. We're developing a video course to kind of go through the map and to talk about some of the concepts we talked about today, such
awesome.
As a deep dive history of DevOps, how to use DevOps, and I'll go through the there's now 7 DevOps platforms. So
is the best point of call if you want to call to contact is dive onto the site and subscribe to your newsletter.
That
or?
Is exactly it. Hit that brilliant. Big old subscribe button, put your email in, and you'll be my friend forever.
Brilliant.
And of course, there's Twitter, Salesforce DevOp, OS. And LinkedIn, it's Vernon Keenan, VERNONKEENAN.
Brilliant. Well, thanks so much for this little dive into the DevOps ecosystem. I think it's been a lot of fun.
Thank you, Francis. It's great being here.
Thanks a lot. See you soon. Thanks for watching or listening to the Salesforce Posse podcast. Now, please, if you like or what you see or hear, then please rate this podcast in your podcast player, as it tells me that there are people out there that actually are listening to this and that it's useful to them. Also, it helps the podcast algorithms to kind of elevate the podcast in the different podcast directories, which will be really helpful for me as well. And finally, if you do have a question that you want to ask on the podcast, then head to salesforceposse.com/message and maybe you'll appear in the next podcast. But apart from that, thanks for listening, and until next time, ta-ta!